Here, try my jumbo breakfast platter with scrambled eggs, 8 mini pancakes, hash brown, and bacon or sausage for just $2.99.
$2.99? Shut the front door.
Of the van or... Crazy. Only at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to my 7th Clarity Unplugged show here on Coach on Fire Radio Network. This is your host, Meena Balani, and if you are tuning in live, it's great to have you here. I have an amazing soul here online with me today, Bhawna Mistry. Before I introduce my guest, just to remind you, it's a live show, so if you want to drop us a message, please do so on my personal Facebook page, Meena Balani. And if you are in the USA, the number to dial in is 646-716-7979. Again, the number is 646-716-7979. We would love to have your comments and take part and ask any questions you have for me and for the guest, Bhawna Mistry. Bhawna is an amazing soul. She's a mentor for meditation and an energy healing transformation. And she has been teaching Reiki since 2007. She's also a healer and a teacher of energy vibration, which is all about being heart-centered. She has a 7 process for providing one-to-one transformation online and one-to-one training, and she aligns the heart and mind together for practical purposes, both in business and personal growth. She's also working with a mindset specialist in the area of addiction. So without further delay, can I introduce Bhawna? Bhawna, are you on the line with me?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Meena.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No, not bad at all, actually. I am feeling a bit cold today. The weather here has turned from a
Hi, Meena. Yeah, you're cutting out.
Oh, am I? Sorry, I can hear you very well.
Oh, okay. You were cutting out with me. I couldn't quite catch that.
Okay, I was just talking about the weather in the UK, which has gone from really sunny to really cold.
I know. Today's temperature just dropped dramatically.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, Bhawna, without delay, can you tell me a bit more about what you actually do and how your journey started in meditation and healing?
Okay. So if I start with how my journey started, I was quite young. I don't have a massive dramatic story. You know, with all these things, people talk about the drama of something that changed their life radically. But for me, meditation was something that came naturally. I was 60 years old. I came across meditation in RE at school, and something just felt right about it. So I started doing meditation on and off, as you do, you know. And eventually what I found within a couple of years was I was using meditation to help me just deal with everyday stresses. And it was really simple. It's like, you know, when you have, you know, at that age, you know, emotions run high, people fall out with each other, people get angry with each other. And I would just take myself away, do a meditation. Usually it was a creative meditation. And then I'd just go back and then respond. And things just worked out a lot better. So I found it a brilliant way to just manage stress. So that's how I got started, and that just developed.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think they're actually bringing back the whole concept of meditation in schools, like meditation and yoga and how to be grounded, because my kids go to school and they kind of have a practice of doing it once a week. It is magic. It's amazing, because waking up to the reality that, yes, being spending that time to yourself actually makes you realize that it's something you need to work on, and the answers are always within
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
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 So what do you actually do with that now in terms of how
meditation?
How do you help people with that?
Okay, so meditation became the foundation of everything I did. And then over the years, it became something, you know, casually I started doing meditations with people for fun, just with friends. Someone asked me, oh, will you run a meditation because you do it? And I did a meditation. So that's how it started to evolve. And then eventually I learned Reiki, and that took me into another realm of using meditation, because now I was using it for healing purposes. So I was connecting into people's energies through meditation and helping them get to the right spot to heal the energy. And what I realized as I trained through meditation, I did NLP, like neuro-linguistic programming, I touched on hypnosis, and when I did the hypnosis, I realized that meditation is actually much deeper than hypnosis. So you can really get to the heart of healing with that, because you're not just taking someone to the source of their problem. You're going in and transforming the energy, and you're healing it so that they come back with a positive energy from that time, as opposed to holding on to the negative energy. Are you with me in what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. I mean, I practice it regularly, but yeah, so I kind of understand what you're trying to say. Definitely get it. I definitely get it.
Okay. Yes. So that's basically what energy transformation is about. It's connecting into the energy of what you're doing, what you're saying, the energy of what you're experiencing. So everything in life is energy. So we're all energy beings. And it's more energy that's vibrating, that's affecting us, that we transform. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, do ask me for clarification, because I can get lost with this.
Yeah, of course. I'm listening. And if I need to sort of think, okay, you need to give me more clarity, I will definitely ask you.
Good.
So how do you get somebody who is not doing it to get started? Because it's really hard for somebody who doesn't do it to sort of just be by themselves, because sometimes they think, what am I doing? How do you get somebody who's never done it to start it?
Okay, everyone is different. You know, some people will take to it naturally. Some people will try it for a bit, get through a stressful period, put it down, and then they get stressful again and they'll come back to it. The whole point of the morning meditations that I run on Facebook is to give someone a space to come and do a guided meditation with somebody, so they're not feeling alone doing it, because meditation can be a very lonely practice. And with all the images and connotations associated with meditation, it can be off-putting, because people think you only do it for spiritual purposes. So it's about bringing it and integrating into your life on a daily basis. So you have to go with the person who they are and allow them to build it into their life that works for them. So there's no hard, fast rules that I use, but I actually speak to somebody when they ask me how to, you know, find out about their lifestyle, when can they fit it in, how can they fit it in, and then we build it, you know, start with 1 minute, start with your breath. Start really simply, you know, that's what I always say.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I sometimes get my kids to sit down for 5 minutes and sort of giggle through it, and then they just get up, and then next day I try to sit down and they don't want to do it. So, it's a continuous process. Like, I think you just have to have a go at it on a regular basis to become good at it, I think, personally. And it's only recently myself, I find that I can sit down for like half an hour without feeling like, okay, I need to get up now.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, and it has taken me a few years of practice, but yeah, I'm kind of reach into that state, and I kind of feel really, I don't know, kind of, it's like something I can't really explain. You know, when I'm there in that space for myself, it's so easy to just forget everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So I really understand where you're coming from, but I was just sort of putting out for people who want to do it. It's a very slow process. You just have to start by even a minute, 2 minutes, and then it just comes on a regular. You just build it up as you go along, basically.
Yeah, I always start with the breath. Breath is the best way to start with meditation. Because if you can just focus on your breathing naturally, even for 1 minute, it completely calms you down. So if people are struggling, I always get them to connect with their breath first.
Yeah. What I do find is when you're sitting down, there's always that negative thoughts that comes into your head. How do you sort of fight those negative thoughts, you know?
Okay.
How do you help?
Yeah, you don't fight it.
You don't fight it, yeah.
You don't fight it. So this is, we're talking about the mind now. So your mind is full of thousands of thoughts randomly moving around. And if you try to stop it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what you normally find with the mind. And if you try to think of nothing, you'll think of lots of things. But when you try to think of things, your mind goes blank. So the mind just doesn't listen to you. So what you do is you allow the mind to run. And then as it runs, what I do is I say, imagine all your thoughts, feelings, emotions that are coming out. They're on a conveyor belt, you know, a bit like a shopping conveyor belt.
Yes.
And you just watch them go by. And the key thing is to just watch and not get involved. So the moment you start engaging with the thought, that's when you get lost in the thought and you stop meditating. But if you just watch it go by, you'll find eventually the conveyor belt will have no thoughts, no feelings. There'll be bigger gaps between things. And that's when you begin to quieten the mind more and more. And it's all, you know, daily practice. You'll improve on it by the end of 5 minutes. The next day you'll improve after 4 minutes. Do you see what I'm saying? It gets stronger and stronger the more you practice it.
Definitely. I know when we were briefly having a discussion, you talked about the 7 chakras, right? Which are part of the energy. Do you want to elaborate a bit more on those chakras?
Okay, so for people who know about the 7 chakras, they will be familiar with
the beginning. Yeah,
they'll be familiar with the base, what they are. But for people they're not, what I do is, most people have heard of Maslow's hierarchy.
Okay.
The shape, the triangle. So when you look at the Maslow's hierarchy, it's actually based on the chakras. If you look at what each section is about. So I've translated that into the energy of the body. So the base, at the very bottom, you've got your foundation. These are all your life conditionings. So this is what you grow up with. This is what you're conditioned to behave in. Your cultural, your social, your environmental norms. So these are the things where we pick up positive and negative beliefs. So that's what I call the base chakra.
Okay.
Then the next level is your connection. So that's, you know, that's about life. That's about connecting to people. It's about relationships. So on an energetic level, it explains how your foundation helps you connect into life. So, you know, negative beliefs create negative connections. Positive beliefs create positive connections. You know, this is just really simplifying it.
And no, it's okay. I want the people on the guest online to sort of, somebody who's never done it before, so you can go into as much detail as you like or simplify as much as you can, whatever you
can. Okay, cool. And then the next level is what you'd be called the solar plexus. And that is about personal power. Now, our beliefs affect our power, but our relationships and how we translate those beliefs affect our power. So our powers get diminished by negative beliefs, negative conditionings. But when we can transform those negative thoughts, feelings, emotions, we empower ourselves to become more true to ourselves. So that is the point where people either we give our power away. take really yourself by taking your power back for yourself.
Okay.
And do you have any questions so far?
No, I'm making brief notes as I'm talking to you. Yeah, go on. I get that.
Okay. So then the next bit is the heart center.
Okay.
Now, this isn't just the center for love, compassion, kindness. It's also the center where we hold our deepest fears. So all our lives experiences of the collective, the fears that we have, they cloud the heart. So you have to literally get through all those clouds to get to the heart inside, the kindness inside, the unconditional love that's inside. And this is where the most work has to be done with our fears, which is all the negative feelings and emotions, the thoughts, negative conditionings.
Okay.
So love and hate, people say, go together. I would put love and fear goes together, because hate is a form of fear. And fear is the foundation of all negative energies.
Yes, definitely.
So again, all this will then affect the lower chakras, the power, the connection, the foundation, because our fears will influence, or our ability to love will influence where we are empowered or where we are disempowered. And then, is that making sense then?
Yeah, definitely. I do follow the energy levels, and I was just having a conversation with somebody today, but I'll talk about it later, but you can just carry on with it, and then I'll maybe
All right. So then the next bit is the throat chakra, which is all about creation and communication. So this is the area from which we communicate the things we want to create in our lives. So if our energies are based on fear, we communicate negatively. If our energies are based on love, we communicate positively. So we're creating through how we are experiencing life. So whether our foundation is a belief and our relationship to that belief, how we're disempowered or empowered by it, any fears or love associated with it then affects the way we communicate it. And that takes us up to the next level, which is often called the third eye. Well, the third eye is also about knowledge, thoughts, and information that floods around our head all the time. So the power of your thoughts are really important. And to be able to quieten your mind, to be able to communicate effectively, you need to understand where your thoughts are coming from. So you need to have to understand the thoughts, how they're connected into your heart, and then how you're communicating it, how that affects your power, how that affects your connection, and how was the foundation built? What was the root cause? That's the foundation. So you have to be able to understand where your thoughts originate from in order to transform them. And then the very last part, what's called the soul or the spirit. So that's about your true spirit, your own path, who you are, your own connection to yourself, how you want to express that or how you don't express that. And that all comes through thoughts, the cloud, when your thoughts are all clouded, what you want to express from your higher self doesn't come through. So that's how it's all affected through the chakras, but through the energy body. So that's how I scale it up. But also at the same time, you scale it down, because the top influences the bottom as well.
Quite interesting. But like I said, I was having a conversation with somebody today, and it was all about chakra and being aligned. How do you sort of bring them in alignment sometimes, we go through phases in life where people, we don't realize it, that maybe one of the chakras is not aligned. How do you sort of align them? Is that a process?
Okay, so it's not straightforward for most people to align the chakras, because most of us don't understand how they influence us. So the key thing is to begin to work with your chakras. So, you can use meditations with the chakras to connect and feel them get balanced. You can, you know, when I do some of my training work, I will open up all the chakras with the people that I'm working with through a meditation to then allow them to work through their chakras. And then we'll close them all off in a balanced way. But it's all about how you work with the energy, your intention, and who's guiding it. But the alignment, you can do that if your belief is strong enough in yourself to be able to do it.
So I think it all comes down to working on yourself on a daily basis, whether it's through meditation, it's through energy, healing, and just getting yourself aligned in a positive way.
Yeah. And there's different levels of alignment, because when you first start, your alignment might be just to get physically balanced, you know, feel a bit more balanced in your life. The deeper and deeper you go into your energy, your alignment changes completely. So like for me, if I go to work and then something's like upset me in the day or thoughts going round in my head, that means something's out of alignment with me if it's a negative thought. So for me, that means I need to do some work on that, transform that energy, so I'm back in realignment. So that's how I work with it now. But that's not the case when you first start. When you first start, you just need to feel peaceful inside. You just need to feel connected inside. So at different stages, your alignment changes according to where you are on your journey.
Yes, definitely. My concern is always like, if you are part of this journey or this process, it's really easy for somebody to understand that. For somebody who is starting out, or somebody who has never been part of this process or a journey, it's really hard for someone to grasp it or even sort of acknowledge it, if you know what I mean. Do you come across people who probably think, what is this rubbish you're talking about?
So when you're talking to somebody who's never come across the concept of being on your own journey, you don't have to try and explain it to them in any other way than asking them about their life. Because actually, your life is your journey, whether you're consciously doing personal development or not. It really, so like when I teach Reiki and I have people come at level one, people often will say to me things like, oh, I've never done this before. I'm only just at the beginning of this. I'm a beginner. I don't know very much about it. And I actually find that they usually know a lot more than they realize they understand. And that's just about helping them connect to their understanding. Once you connect to that, you begin to see how your life is your journey. And that's the key to it. It's, you know, I never say to somebody, oh, well, you've only just started on this, so you're at the beginning of your journey. Because for all I know, they might be much further along their journey, but they've just not followed it the same way I followed it. You know, so everyone's journey is different, and it's about learning for yourself your own understanding. You know, I've come across people who've never done energy healing, never done meditation, but they are very deeply spiritual. They tend to be quite creative people as well. But even, you know, other people who are not creative, they've got different ways of connecting to nature, connecting to themselves. That's part of their journey. That's, they're already on their journey. They're already connecting. They're just not consciously aware of what they're doing.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I've come across people and the aura or the vibration around them is so positive, right? You can actually sense it. And when you're around some people, you can sense that negative energy as well, you know? I don't know if you've come across something like that. I mean, I'm sure when you meet some people, you can feel the vibes coming out of them and it sort of makes you wake up. And sometimes the negative energy they have around it kind of grounds you as well. I kind of really get it, even though people sometimes haven't been on this journey, but they sort of probably experience something on this positive and negative level to be aligned in some ways.
Absolutely, you're right. It doesn't matter if you understand it in the, you know, the way I explain it, if you don't understand it, it really doesn't matter. Everybody knows that you can walk into a room and it feels tense, or everybody knows that you can walk into the room and it feels really joyful, peaceful. And it doesn't matter what you've done. We're all naturally attuned to be able to sense these things. That's part of our natural abilities. And often we forget that. And I think that's just recognizing that, that helps people understand that actually they do understand more than they realized. It is that simple.
Yeah. It's like you were saying, understanding, being heart-centered, you know, like you are all about being heart-centered, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aligned with yourself from your core truth, right? And that's when your true self actually sort of comes out.
That's right, yeah. So being heart-centered isn't the easiest of journeys. Because what you're doing is you're facing all the negative energies which are part of your makeup.
Mm.
Because in order for you to get to that place of unconditional love, of kindness, of compassion, of inner peace, inner joy, you need to get rid of all the rubbish that affects you. You know, we all know that if we walk into a negative environment, the energy of the place is really down and it brings you down. And if you're positive, you just want to leave that place. Well, that's what happens in the heart center. You know, when your heart is surrounded by the negative energies, you have to release them one at a time to get into the heart of who you are, you know, the truth of who you are. And that happens one step at a time. When you work with people who do this kind of stuff, like when I do the meditations, I will help people get an experience what it's like to be in the heart, so they always know what they're aiming for. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course. Yes,
definitely. Because it's about experiencing the energy. It's about experiencing that inner place of depth that you wouldn't normally experience. That's what the morning guided meditations that I do. I'd make that space available for people to connect more deeply than they would normally, just so that you can reconnect to who you are. And that's all it takes, just that reconnection to who you are in some form.
Definitely. Do you want to talk about your morning meditations in the morning, what time you do it and how you sort of approach them, if anybody wants to do it with you?
Yeah, for anybody that wants to join, the morning meditations are on Facebook. They're live at 6 a.m. It's on my page called Life Healing Values. It's 6 a.m. GMT time, so it'll be different times depending on where you are in the world. I leave them on there for at least 2 or 3 days, and then they'll slowly begin to expire. But, you know, each day I do a new meditation, so there's always going to be a meditation available. You can connect to me live. When you connect to me live, you're connecting with other people who are joining in at the same time. Or you can do the replay afterwards if that's easier for your time, you know. Or sometimes, you know, getting up at 6 o'clock to do meditation can be quite difficult if it's not part of your daily schedule. And, you know, I've got people who are saying, I'm trying to get to 6 o'clock in the morning. And they get there sometimes and they don't. But that's, you know, don't judge yourself. When you get there, you get there. When you don't, listen to the replay. Because once you start judging yourself, you see yourself as a failure. And the meditations are there to help you empower yourself, not disempower you.
Yes, definitely. I firmly believe that. Right, guys, I've got Bauna Mistry on the line with me here today. And if you want to join us, the number to dial in is 646. By the way, it's a USN number. It's 646. 716-7979. And if you want to drop us a message, do so on my personal Facebook page, Meena Vilani. And Bauna is all about talking about energy healing and meditation. And she's also doing Reiki since 2008. Bauna, I hear you're actually working with somebody, with a mindset specialist in the area of addiction, right?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah. Yeah, so some people may have heard of him. His name's Chris Hill. And through his own experiences, he's actually created this 7-step formula to beat your addiction. So he's actually called Beat My Addictions, and it's with Chris Hill. What I found was Chris started sending people who were going through the withdrawal process once they made the decision to give up alcohol or cigarettes or whatever to come and try my morning meditations out. And what I found was that one of the persons I spoke to that did it, he said to me, he said, I was, you know, because with alcohol addiction, when you let go of, when you're detoxing through alcohol, you get sweat all the time. He said, in order to control the sweating, he was doing my meditation four times a day. So, you know, I made a joke out of it. I said, so four times meditation as opposed to medication. But that's what worked for him, you know, and it helped him to stay calm, cope with the sweating, and help him through the whole process of detoxing. And he's been alcohol-free for months. And it's that simple. And then I discovered that bringing this aspect of connecting to yourself, feeling that inner connection, was really helping them. Because for a lot of people, any form of addiction is a form of self-sabotage. And your mind will help you stay in that sabotage state. When the mind takes over, it's really hard for the heart to get in. So what Chris does, he really focuses on the mindset, and he really gets you to understand the mindset of addiction and how he uses self-talk to keep you strong through the whole process. And so what we're doing is we're looking at how to bring the mindset and the heart together through the whole process, and we're looking at doing we're working on a project together to put something together where we do both, where we get people to a stage of a decision, and then we deal with the fears, we deal with the energies that arise, and we release as much of it as possible and transform it to make the process a lot easier to go through. So that's what we're working on, but you know, we're working on it at the moment.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, because I personally have read about how meditation helps you overcome a lot of things, and maybe addiction is one of the things you can sort of learn to sort of through meditation, actually. And maybe I was reading about I put in the newspaper or something, how it has helped people sort of cut down even their medication. It's confusing myself.
Yeah.
Meditation. If I just being more mindful, being more aware of it, and it's all through meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's about, because like with everything, if you want to cut down on something, you have to be aware of how it affects you. And it's going to affect you on a physical level. It's going to affect you on an emotional level. It's going to affect you on a mental level. And there's going to be a level of attachment to all these things that you have to learn to become aware of and let go of. So this is part of like the energy healing work I do. I work on all those different levels. We have to open up the can of worms to let them out and heal it. Until we do that, we're not going to get rid of the stuff in the foundation that's blocking us from moving forwards. And meditation is a great way to connect. Mindfulness is actually being used in a lot of services now in addictions, you know, where they're starting to explore mindfulness as a way of helping people cope with change. But it's not just coping with change, it's actually coping with your thoughts, feelings and emotions around it all. That's really important.
Yeah. So how big is the heart movement in your experience of interviewing people, today, like when you come across people?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Like, how big is the heart movement in your experience of interviewing people?
The heart experience?
Yes. Like
because the heart is different for everyone. But are you talking about addiction specifically, or are you talking about anything?
No, I'm just talking generally. Addiction could be part of it, yes.
So generally, so most of us have grown up with conditional love. It's very rare you meet somebody whose parents have been completely unconditionally loving towards them. So everything we do in life is created by what we've been trained with, what our conditionings have been. So most people are lacking that true sense of being loved unconditionally. And what I find when I'm working with people is I bring a lot of unconditional love into the healing process. So it's all about connecting to love. It's all about connecting to it on a very unconditional way. So free of judgment, free of fear, free of, you know, feeling unaccept, you know, it's about complete acceptance of who you are. Because when we've gone through different life experiences, and if we've done anything negative, there's going to be a level of guilt, a level of, you know, you don't deserve this. But actually, we all deserve to be happy. We all deserve to experience unconditional love because our true nature is unconditional love. And so what I find is most people aren't connected to that part of them, that part that is pure unconditional love. You know, I do that in my morning meditations as well. Occasionally, I'll put up a meditation of just connecting to pure unconditional love. And that allows you to just connect to who you truly are. And when you start experiencing that, that's when you start wanting to change your life again.
It's hard to reconnect with their true selves, right?
But it's about not just that. It's about learning to experience unconditional love. You know, you know, I can say for years I never understood what it meant until I started going really deeply into this spiritual healing stuff, because healing isn't about healing people's illnesses. It's about healing you to become whole again. Because if you're whole, you don't get ill because you don't have negative vibrations making you ill. And that's basically what it's all about. It's about how do I get myself into a place where I feel good inside, no matter what's going on around me. And that's the key. It's about being, you know, peaceful inside. It's about feeling unconditional love inside. And than anything
definitely.
Else.
I think people can only find that if really reconnect with themselves is through spending time with themselves.
Absolutely.
That's my personal experience. Because sometimes we forget, we just crack on with life, we just forget what we probably need that time out from everything else to reconnect with ourselves and find ourselves. And not many people give themselves that time of the day. And
that's no, they don't.
Fall ill, or they're stressed out, or they get addicted to drugs and drinks. And it's all kind of connected, isn't it? So maybe, yes, but... it definitely makes sense for somebody like me, because I went through my personal experience. I felt like a couple of years ago when I was so busy in the rut of life, like running from one place to the other, busy with the kids, I never gave time to myself. And only after my experience, I kind of sort of told myself, this is it. I can't carry on with life like this. I have to have the space and time for myself, regardless of how busy I am with everybody around me. This is when I've created a lifestyle where I wake up early in the morning, I spend that half an hour to myself, and then I go and have my walks in the morning and have my meditation. Sometimes I just sit in the park and do my meditation, and it's so peaceful and it's so tranquilizing, you know. It's like, it's completely out of the world. I can't even explain it to anybody.
And that's exactly what it's all about. You'd be, you know, well, you probably wouldn't be surprised, but the number of times I've worked with females who are mothers who say, oh, or are married, and they say, oh, but I've got to do this for my children, I've got to do this for my husband, and, you know, oh, they won't give me the time or space to do it. And I said, well, you have to make that time. You have to say, this is me time. And, you know, and it's, women are so selfless in that way, that people forget that we need time to ourselves, and actually we are responsible for making that happen for ourselves.
We put everybody above us. We sometimes forget ourselves in the process.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that's what creates all these illnesses and all this. That's from my personal experience, anyway. But I've learned to slow down and just take things as they come along. And being on this meditation journey for quite a while now, my mom has been quite a big influence from a very young age, and I think that probably helped me recover quite quickly and get back to normal.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was like a blessing in disguise, telling me, okay, slow down, woman. You don't need to be the robot doing one thing, jumping from one thing to the next. You need to take time out. And I did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and that's brilliant that you did that, because so many people don't give themselves the gift of having time for themselves. And that is a real gift. You know, the best thing you can do for yourself is have this time with you, to connect with you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually getting my kids into it. I don't do it on a regular basis, but sometimes I'm like, okay, let's sit down for 5 minutes. They sometimes laugh through it, but even like the practice of sitting down for 5 minutes now, I think it's good enough.
Yeah, and you know what? It works wonderfully with kids. I remember doing it with my cousin's daughter, and when she's first time we did it, she just sat down and she listened to what I did and she sat down. And then like the next day she came to me and she went, can we do meditation again? Because it made her feel good inside. And you know, at the time we were going, her grandfather had just died, so you know, there was a lot of like grief and stuff around the place, but she was connecting through meditation, and she was only like 4 years old, you know. But you know, kids are great, they do respond to it. And if it's something that you teach them from a young age, they respond to that. You know, I gave her a crystal. She chose her own crystal. And I showed her, and I said to her, let's do some healing with it. And my cousin tells me that even years afterwards, she kept that crystal in a safe place. And she would every so often pick it up and do some healing with it. You know, and it's a great way for them to just connect with themselves and feel good inside again.
Definitely. So what kind of work has inspired you the most?
What has inspired me the most?
Yes.
In terms of what I do?
Yes, in terms of what you do. Like,
okay. Right. Well, as you know, I guess I was inspired by the fact that I was disillusioned with culture from a young age. And I couldn't understand why people would say one thing and do another and expected us to do things they weren't doing. You know, I was an atheist before I took up meditation. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think what inspires me the most is I don't know how I came across the idea, but from my teenage years, I just suddenly started saying, as long as I'm not hurting anyone, I can do as I like. Now, at that time, I didn't realize how powerful that was. And it's about getting that level of understanding. And on that basis, I guess my father would have inspired me the most. Whenever we went to him to ask questions about life, he would say to us, well, think about it and you'll get the answer. You know, he was never saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. He wasn't laying down the law on us just because we were females. He actually encouraged us to think about it for ourselves and come up with the answers. And I think that's my earliest influence, my earliest inspiration, is being given that freedom to have time to just think for ourselves. And I guess it's part of me. And maybe that's why I don't think about what's most inspiring, because I find a lot of things inspiring. You know, I get inspired by the movement of peace by Gandhi, by Nelson Mandela. All those things are really inspiring. But all of them, if you listen to what they say, they're all connected to themselves. They all found that place of inner peace, that inner love, that place where they could take action from in a peaceful way going forwards, and not about lashing out or fighting back in a negative way. They all took action, but it wasn't to cause more problems. It was to get their freedom.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I really agree with you. I mean, I think the heart of everything else in life, people who are at peace with themselves really, really spread the word of love. And people who are not at peace with themselves are people who actually fight the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was just going to say, there's four themes that I use. And I say, be at peace, be at truth with yourself, stay with love, and let your light shine. Those are the four key words that I usually use.
Can you repeat that again, sorry?
Yeah. So, be at peace, peace with yourself, inner peace.
Yes.
Be with your inner truth. So, follow your path of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Love, unconditional love, follow the path of the heart and how to get to pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And let your light shine. So, you know, all your positives, shine it out into the world. Don't let anybody else diminish your light. Be out there. You're here to shine your light. So you go for it. And don't worry about what anybody else says.
No, it's quite powerful, actually. Yes, definitely. Inner peace, love, let your light shine. Yes, definitely. Okay. So what are the three things you want to leave the audience with today?
Three things I would like to leave with you today is, first of all, whatever you do, just start connecting with yourself. So whether you've got time to do it or not, it doesn't take long for you to either sit on a public transport, sit on a chair and just breathe for 1 minute and connect to your breath and let it flow. Just start connecting with yourself. If you're not doing it, do that. The other thing I'd like to say is look at your daily activities. You know, for some people, it could be doing something like gardening. For some people, it might be going for a walk. For some people, it might be doing something creative like art or reading. When do you feel at that point where you're so relaxed that you feel connected to life, that you feel calm inside? Think about those activities. That's when you're probably being the most mindful. And that's when you're meditating in a very conscious way. So you're being fully present in what you're doing. And you're there fully in that moment. And I can guarantee that everybody who's listened to this will have something that they can relate to, where they go, oh, actually, when I'm doing this, I feel completely at ease, completely connected to myself, completely peaceful. And one last thing. Find the peace in every situation. Without peace, you can't connect to love. Without peace, you can't face your truth. Without peace, you can't shine your light. So get into that place of inner peace.
Yes, Dana, that's so powerful, guys. I had lovely Bana Mystery on the line. If you want to connect with her, her website is www.lifehealingvalues.co.uk. She also runs an online Facebook live videos on meditation at 6 p.m. UK time, so you can catch her on that as well. Dana, it has been lovely having you on the show. By the way, this is your host, Meena Balani. I am all about getting clear in your thoughts and clear with your language and behavior. I am launching my program pretty soon as well, so I will be giving out the details on my next show maybe. But Dana, it has been amazing, amazing having you on this show, because even though I do practice meditation on a regular basis, it's always nice to be re-emphasized and told and been sort of, and it has been so peaceful listening to this one, actually. You have this peaceful aura about you, and that's what I sensed while I was talking to you anyway.
That's lovely. Thank you for having me, Meena. I've really enjoyed sharing this information. I love sharing it, so thank you.
No problem, guys. That was lovely, Bana on the line. So, and until next time, guys, have a nice evening and take care. Bye, Bana.
Bye. You work.
Fire Radio.
Hear that? Those aren't just any emojis. Those are Fiesta faces. And they're popping up all summer long at Fiesta Aquatica. A splash and birthday bash featuring flamingo parades, dance parties, DJs, and more. Plus all the slides, splashes, and pools you love. Join the party with a splash pass. Pay for a day and Fiesta all season. Limited time offer. Hurry while supplies last. Hear that? Those aren't just any emojis. Those are Fiesta faces. And they're popping up all summer long at Fiesta Aquatica. A splash and birthday bash featuring flamingo parades, dance parties, DJs, and more. Plus all the slides, splashes, and pools you love. Join the party with a splash pass. Pay for a day and Fiesta all season. Limited time offer. Hurry while supplies last.